the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The life of St. Veronica Giuliani was a continuous succession of penances that the Lord himself asked of her for the salvation of sinners and the liberation of souls from purgatory, which were her two main missions entrusted to her by our Lord Jesus Christ. If one visits the museum of St. Veronica in her monastery in Città di Castello, one can be scared to see the different instruments of penance that she used. God inspired in her such thirst to suffer for the salvation of others that everything seemed little to her, and God did not allow himself to be outdone in generosity. St. Veronica Giuliani also constantly speaks to us of her ecstasies and moments of heaven with the continuous apparitions of the child Jesus, of the glorious Jesus, or the crucified Jesus, of our Mother the Virgin Mary, and of many other saints and angels. From a very young age, she had contact and friendship with the child Jesus, who appeared to her throughout her life as a living child, even from his images. With Jesus, she played and spoke as with a dear and close friend. Something beautiful is the presence of our Mother, the Virgin Mary, in her visions and the supernatural apparitions next to Jesus, in union almost always with her guardian angel. The presence of her guardian angel was something that happened to her constantly. Her guardian angel was her friend since she was a child, an inseparable friend and always present in her happy or difficult moments. Her guardian angel, Jesus, and our Mother, the Virgin Mary, gave her sacramental communion frequently. Her love for God was so great that she often repeated, "Suffer or die," like St. Teresa of Avila, or "Suffer and not die," like St. Mary Magdalene de Pazzi. And Jesus loved her so much that on several occasions, he made her see his divine heart with the immaculate heart of our Mother, the Virgin Mary, and her heart, like three hearts merging into one heart, a single heart that involved the heart of Jesus, the heart of our Mother, the Virgin Mary, and the heart of St. Veronica Giuliani. If at the end of this video, you feel a little more love for Jesus and our Catholic faith, please don't keep it to yourself. It is a treasure to share with others, and his love will increase in you as you communicate it to others. Become an apostle, a friend, a lover of Jesus. He loves you and he waits for you in the Eucharist. The future Saint Veronica Giuliani was born in Mercatello Terra in the Diocese of Urbania on December 27, 1660, on the feast of Saint John the Evangelist. Her parents named her Ursula. Her father was Francesco Giuliani and her mother was Benedetta Mancini. Her father was an ensign in a company of soldiers. She was baptized on December 28th, the day after her birth, by the priest Juan Antonio Bergesio in the collegiate church of San Pedro and San Pablo at Mercatello. Her parents had seven daughters, two of whom died as children. Of the five that remained, three entered the convent of Order of St. Clare as poor Clares in her city, and Ursula entered the Capuchins of the same city, of Città di Castello. In her house, there was a religious atmosphere. Every night, she read the life of a saint. Ursula had a lively and impetuous character. She was good-looking, nice in dealing with others. Ursula took her nun habit in the Capuchin convent of Città di Castello on October 28, 1677, at the age of 17. St. Veronica Giuliani says, "On March 16, 1703, God confirmed the two missions for me, promising me special graces for both. That is, the conversion of sinners and the liberation of souls from purgatory. And at that very moment, God granted me the grace that many souls were freed from purgatory. There were so many that only God could know the number. It seemed to me that these souls were all those who during their life were devoted to his most holy passion. Jesus confirmed me several times as the mediator between him and sinners. This is my first mission that God has given me. The second is to relieve the souls of purgatory." Let's see a real example. There was a nun in her convent who didn't have an orderly life. St. Veronica asked the superior to assist her day and night before she died. St. Veronica did it five nights in a row, and she says, "I decided to always assist her with prayers. I only sat a little when I felt that I could not take it anymore. From my heart, I asked God for the salvation of this soul, and I offered myself to him for any pain and torment so that soul might be saved. I was making a great effort because I was not able to obtain this full grace for the nun's soul. All my thought was on this. I kept praying continually to God to grant me such grace, and I ask for it in faith. The demon made more and more outrages and boasted of already having her in his power. And I, with ardent prayers, begged God, saying, Lord, your most precious blood, your infinite merits are the ones that will impregnate me with that grace, since it costs you an infinite price for this soul. She begged the Most Holy Trinity, so that the Most Holy Trinity would allow her to obtain such grace from her Eternal Father. One morning after communion, I seemed to understand in a very clear way that the grace would be granted to me, but that I need to prepare for great sufferings. I fully conformed myself to the divine will and would have wholeheartedly accepted any torment for the salvation of that soul. Every moment, St. Veronica said, My God, I am here ready for any pain, but save this soul. I want this grace for the merits of your precious blood. Yes, yes, my God, I dare to ask for it completely because I trust your most holy merits. She was moved with great faith and hoped to obtain that grace. Many times I seemed to understand that I would get that grace, but at the cost of pain. Twice the demon beat me many times and told me that I had to pay for it. One night, while St. Veronica was with the nun who was about to die, the demon appeared in the form of a cat and wanted to jump to the sick nun who was in the bed. I pushed the cat away, and then the cat approached me as if it wanted to jump on me. I took holy water and made the sign of the cross. Then I didn't see the cat anymore. Many, many times I would see the demons bodily around the sick person's bed, always threatening to make me pay, all of which was good for me, because with great urgency, I asked God for that soul. On the last night, at the Matins time, or shortly before, it seemed to me that God made me understand that this sister had to go through a serious battle and that she would not achieve victory if all of us together did not pray fervently for her. At 6 o'clock at night, 4 demons came. They gave her many temptations, particularly telling St. Veronica Giuliani that there was no remedy for the sick nun. The demons were waiting to take her soul. I remained in living faith that God would achieve victory. Again, I offered myself to pain and torment, and I said, My God, I am this soul for you. Yes, yes, your blood, your merits, the Blessed Virgin will be mediators to reach her. Again, I seemed to understand that grace would be granted to me. The demons were there with great fury and tempted me in various ways, but not everything was known to me. Only once in a while, in some brief ecstasy, I understood something. At this point, I saw the soul, and I knew that the demons had lost. With anger, the demons left, and they also let themselves be felt in many ways that they were there. I learned that the soul had a short time to die. I asked the Father Confessor for permission to visit the Blessed Sacrament. While I was on my way to the Blessed Sacrament, the demon appeared to me in the form of a cat. It made ugly gestures and lunged at me, as if it wanted to tear me apart. I hit it hard with the cord, and it seemed to me that I was hitting a piece of iron. Again, the cat wanted to lunge for my neck, and I gave him another strong cord. It followed me to the door of the church, and there it left me. And when it disappeared, it told me, You've gotten away with it, but you are going to pay for it. I visited the Blessed Sacrament, and from my heart, I begged God to deign to strengthen that soul and to remove the agony of that soul if it was His will. I understood that the devil had nothing more to do with her, that I returned to the soul that was sick because the sick nun would soon die. That morning, after I received communion, God made me understand that the soul of the sick nun was in purgatory and with great pains. God made me see a very dark and very frightening place, and I understood that her soul was there. I came to myself with great fear, thinking that the soul was in hell and not in purgatory, and I only waited in the prayers that I made for that soul. In another ecstasy, God made me see that place again, and I saw in the center of it something like a frightening animal. This vision lasted a very short time. Everything disappeared immediately. I understood that it was the same soul that was shown to me in that way. I regained my senses with such great fear, and I was trembling for a long time. I had a great compassion for the souls in purgatory. I did not believe what I had seen, doubting that those things were diabolical. The next night, 2 or 3 times, I saw that soul that said to me, They are not diabolical things. It is true that I suffer, and if you understood my suffering, you would die of pain. It seemed that her voice came from that place, where I saw something like a shadow disappear, all of fire, and then I came to myself. For many days, I always witnessed the same thing, and it was always confirmed that it was the same soul. One night, I saw this place more clearly. I saw the place so full of torments that I thought it was hell. It is difficult to explain in words. It was something that caused me great fear and fright. I saw many ways of torments and all at the same time, tormenting many souls. At the top, through the air, many of these souls were tied with something that I did not understand what it was. Some souls had more purifications than others, and one of those souls was that soul that spoke to me. God wanted me to understand the torments that souls suffered and why souls suffered them, since this would be a grace for me, so I would repair for many things. Jesus also wanted me to understand this, to share it as a teaching for others, especially telling it to my confessor, so he would know this and make it known to the souls that the priest had under his spiritual direction. All these things were confirmed many times during the prayer, showing me that place and in it these torments. All this made me pray to God for all the souls in purgatory, especially for this soul that spoke to me, something very necessary to do. Another example, Saint Veronica Giuliani tells us, "Once, while in prayer, I found myself outside of myself. I saw many souls on the edge of a cliff. Jesus told me, 'These are entrusted to you. What do you want?' I asked him for the salvation of those souls, and I told Jesus with all my heart, 'My God, I hope that by the merits of your most holy passion, you will convert them all.' Jesus told me to offer him some suffering. Oh, my Lord, suddenly a great desire came to me to suffer for the conversion of those souls. Later, I came back to myself, and all night I did nothing but penances. I was experiencing something in myself that I don't know how to put into words, and I didn't realize what I was doing. The next night, I saw our Lord Jesus Christ, and he made me understand that I have obtained that grace for those souls, but more suffering was needed. Oh, my sweet Jesus, I offered myself for everything he wanted so those souls would be converted to him, to our Lord Jesus Christ. That same year, I was a nurse, and in the infirmary, there was a large crucifix. I had a great devotion to him. I was going to visit him every moment, and the devotion for him was increasing. I would never have left him. Sometimes I used to reason with him and say to him with my heart, 'Lord, you have to give me graces. In a particular way, I ask you for the conversion of sinners.' While praying like this, once our Lord Jesus Christ unclamped his arm from the cross of the crucifix and with a sign told me to approach his most holy side. Suddenly, I do not know how I found myself embracing the crucifix while he told me, 'This, what I am doing now with you, I do it so you can see how much your requests please me.' What I experienced at that moment, I cannot explain. I only know that Jesus left me with a great desire to suffer and many longings for the conversion of souls, as well as a living memory of his most holy passion. I would have liked to always be at his side, and every time I remembered this moment, the sorrows and sufferings of his passion made an impression on me in such a way that I could not contain the tears. Once again, our Lord Jesus Christ, from that crucifix, promised me that he would make me feel the sufferings and pains of his passion. And it seems to me, I remember that I asked him constantly. Sometimes, without being seen by anyone, I go to his feet at the crucifix and say, 'My crucified husband, make me feel the pains you suffered for me. Crucify me too with you, soon, soon.' By saying this, the desire for suffering was ignited in me. It was a desire that would not let me be quiet. I did all kinds of penances, but the more I did penance, the more this desire was increased. I said to myself, 'It is necessary that the sufferings be voices for new sufferings, because I feel, my God, more and more desire to suffer.' Other times, when God instructed me about the offenses that are done to His Divine Majesty, it seemed that my heart was torn by pain. At the same time, my heart was ignited in such a way that it seemed to me to carry a fire inside, and due to the intense pain, I was unable to breathe. I have frequently experienced this at Easter. I have also experienced it while living the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. I remember that sometimes while I was working, I heard a sensitive voice that said to me, 'Come to me, come to me.' I left my work and went to church, and suddenly I was out of myself. I saw our Lord Jesus Christ praying in one way and then praying in another way. In other words, sometimes as if he were the child Jesus, other times as the risen Jesus, other times with the sufferings of his passion. And Jesus told me to entrust the condition of many who were in disgrace for the many offenses they committed. I would have given my own life and blood for the salvation of those souls, and also so Lord Jesus Christ would not be offended. At other times, Jesus made me understand that those souls had repented and converted to him. He often made me know who they were so I could entrust them more effectively. I was happy to understand that our Lord Jesus Christ was very pleased that we prayed for the conversion of sinners, and he offered me as an intermediary between God and sinners. Other times, I remember that I felt a call to my heart, and at the same time, I experienced a flame, like a fire, that was ignited in my heart. This made me want Jesus very much. I could not do anything other than run from one place to another and say, "My sweet God, my love, burn me, consume me in the flames of your love." One morning in Holy Communion, at the moment of receiving communion, God made me renew the pacts I made with him, and I made a heartfelt promise to love nothing but his holy will, and I accepted again the position that I have of being a mediator between God and sinners. Saint Veronica Giuliani trusted in God, and she accepted the humiliations and sufferings for the salvation of sinners and the liberation of souls from purgatory, which were the two main missions that Jesus had entrusted to her. Even if a sister wanted to give St. Veronica Giuliani some unkind treatment, she changed the sister's unkindness by giving back to her sister charity and kindness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.